instilling good habits in children is a strategy he chose to build Indonesian education. During his prayer sermon at Gajah Mada University in Yogyakarta on Wednesday, he said that instilling these habits was necessary to create future generation, which could bring Indonesia to its vision of golden Indonesia by Indonesia's centennial in 2045.
Dalam konteks kita membangun bangsa tentu saja, kita perlu membangun generasi emas itu.
In building our nation, we certainly need to cultivate a golden generation that will lead this country towards progress and greatness. Continuous educational processes are essential to assist this, starting from instilling good habits and practices. In this way, our nation's future generations will develop strong and noble character from an early age, embodying our nation's core values and dignity.
Kepribadian yang utama dan kepribadian yang luhur sebagai suatu bangsa.
Indonesia Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education is recently promoting the 7 Great Habits of Indonesian Children, a program launched last December. And these habits including waking up early, worshiping, exercising, eating healthy and nutritious food, loving to learn, engaging with the community, and going to bed early. In his speech, Abdul Muti also mentioned that the future of Indonesia in 2045 can be seen through the children currently attending primary educational institutions, such as kindergarten. The next news. The Speaker of the House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, strongly condemned a brutal Israeli attack on the northern Gaza Strip, Palestine, which violated the ceasefire agreement. The airstrike on Tuesday killed hundreds of civilians, including women and children. Puan described this Israeli action as a violation of humanitarian principles and international law, as well as war crimes in violation of the Geneva Conventions, as well as war crimes contrary to the Geneva Conventions. This attack ended the ceasefire agreement with Hamas that had been in effect since January 19th. The Israeli government claimed that the attack was carried out because Hamas refused to release hostages. Puan stressed that this excuse cannot be justified. Puan urged the Indonesian government and the international community to take firm diplomatic steps, including through the UN and OIC, to stop the Israeli attacks and provide humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza. The House of Representatives will also continue to conduct parliamentary diplomacy to defend the rights of the Palestinian people. Next news. Indonesia's House of Representatives ratified the amendment of the 2004 Act on Indonesian National Military into law at a plenary session in Jakarta on Thursday. During the session, the House spokesperson Puan Maharani asked the approval of all House members present, which was then approved.
Sekarang tibalah saatnya kami meminta persetujuan.
Now it is time for us to ask for the faction's approval regarding the bill amendments to Act No. 34 of 2004 on the Indonesian National Military. Can it be approved to be enacted into law? Yes. Thank you.
Terima kasih.
The amendment revised 3 articles on the armed force position, retirement age, and active military officers' engagement in state institutions. Besides stipulating that the Minister of Defense coordinated defense policies and strategies, the amended act also added 6 more civilian posts available for active officers and increased the retirement age up to 62 years old for the most high-ranking officers. While some elements of the public criticized that the amendments could revive the military's dual function policy as a President Soeharto's New Order era, Chairman of the House Commission 1, Utut Adianto, claimed that there is no intention to revive the policy during the amendments discussion. Next news. Zakat, as one of the pillars of Islam that must be carried out by every able Muslim, not only function as a form of worship but also has an important role in supporting social and economic development. Through the distribution of zakat, the funds generated can help improve the welfare of society, especially for those who are less fortunate. In the Voitalk program with RRI Voice of Indonesia Jakarta on Thursday, Muhammad Mahmud, the Vice Chairman of the Badan Amil Zakat Nasional, the Indonesian National Zakat Management Agency, said zakat has high economic potential that can be utilized to support government's programs in poverty alleviation, especially through funding productive activities.
If we heard, if we listen about zakat, usually we refer to zakat. If we listen about zakat, we only, what is our imagination? Mm. Only mosque, for example, only madrasah, only for example, poor people, and get the food. But at the moment, the policy has been developed. Our policy, a half of our dana zakat has been allocated directly for consumption, and the rest is allocated for the productive activities. Mm. That's why Bastas not only provide food for the poor people, but also we provide scholarship for those who want to go to school but without sufficient funding, for example. And also, for example, because they cannot go to the hospital because they have no health insurance, so Basnas provide the free for the health facilities. That's why for the second thing we call it productive activities.
If we listen about zakat, we only look at our imagination. Only mosque, for example, only madrasah, only for poor people and get the food. But at the moment, the policy has been developed. Our policy, half of our zakat has been allocated directly for consumption and the rest is allocated for productive activities. That's why Basnas not only provide food for the poor people, but we also provide scholarships for those who want to go to school, but without sufficient funding. For example, because they cannot go to the hospitals because they have no health insurance, so Basnas provide free health facilities. This way, for this second thing, we call it productive activities. Previously, the Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs targeted national zakat collection of 10% by 2025. Currently, the total zakat collected has reached 42 trillion rupiah, but this figure is still far from the maximum potential, which is estimated more than 327 trillion rupiah. The Director General of Islamic Community Guidance at the Minister of Religious Affairs, Abu Rahman, said that the increasing zakat collection must be shared agenda in order to strengthen zakat's contribution to poverty alleviation and community welfare. And the final news. The Egyptian government has expressed its commitment to developing a scholarship program for Indonesian students. The students of the Arab Republic Egypt, Yasser Hassan Farag El Shermi, stated during the dialogue between French-speaking countries ambassador and Indonesian student as a part of Francopi Week 2025 on Thursday at Jakarta State University that the scholarship development program will be introduced by the end of this year.
Egypt has a different position regarding the scholarship offered to our brothers and sisters in Indonesia. As you know, we are the biggest country offered scholarship to the students here. We are working on a new system that allows Indonesian students to apply for Egyptian universities. We will introduce a new system, I think, by the end of this year.
Ambassador Yasser El Shermi also mentioned that the Indonesian students are warmly welcome to pursue their education at universities in Egypt, various fields such as medicine, engineering, pharmacy, science, and business in December 2024. The Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto visited Cairo, Egypt in the field of education, and he expressed his appreciation for Egypt's role in supporting more than 15,000 Indonesian students at Al-Azhar University. And that's the news from Voice of Indonesia. And coming up next, let's follow today's commentary entitled National Zakat Agency Economic Empowerment Program Increase Welfare by Anna Trijayakasih.
This was a Indonesian Jakarta with commentary, and today it's entitled National Zakat Agency's Economic Empowerment Program Increases Welfare. The Indonesian National Zakat Agency is a non-structural government institution tasked with collecting and distributing alms in Islam, such as zakat infaq and sedekah, and other Islamic social religious funds nationally. Since Indonesia, with over 281.6 million population, which is predominantly Muslims, the amount is quite fantastic. The National Zakat Agency plays a role in building social justice, empowering the community's economy, helping people in need, strengthening the role of Zakat in improving the welfare of the community, helping mustahik or people who are entitled to receive Zakat to be economically independent and escape the poverty line. The Indonesian Minister of Religion, Professor Nasaruddin Umar, at the Istiqlal Mosque Jakarta earlier this week, appreciated the economic empowerment program run by the National Zakat Agency. According to the minister, Zakat needs to be managed professionally in order to provide long-term benefits for Zakat recipients. He explained that productive Zakat must be distributed by considering the needs of those who are entitled to receive Zakat so that they can be economically empowered. The National Zakat Agency currently has various economic empowerment programs aimed at improving the lives of mustahik and vulnerable communities. Among them are business capital assistance, business training and mentoring, and business ecosystem development with mustahik. The National Zakat Agency not only distributes aid domestically, but also has an important role in helping humanity in Palestine, Sudan, and other countries in need. Until the end of February this year, the National Zakat Agency, in collaboration with trusted partners, has distributed aid from the Indonesian people amounting to 125.7 billion rupiahs for the Palestinian people. Zakat-based economic empowerment to improve welfare is certainly not the sole responsibility of the National Zakat Agency, but also requires support from all parties. If managed properly, Zakat can be a strong instrument in alleviating poverty in Indonesia, and it is possible to help other countries. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
No one can stop us.
If you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cleaning process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove.
The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the small fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal cholo-cholo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Terus menunda-nunda dan tak pernah. kau dan aku.
Listener, after this we will listen to Indonesian Wonder only on Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, Indonesian Wonder for today's editions come with the title Siung Beach from Yogyakarta. Listeners, if you are in Yogyakarta, a trip to the beach is one of the right choices. Gunung Kidul, one of the districts in Yogyakarta, has a row of beautiful beaches that are interesting to visit. One of them is Siung Beach. This white sandy beach is quite famous in Yogyakarta, even abroad. Apart from its beauty, easy access makes many tourists visit Siung Beach. Siung Beach is in Duet Hamlet, Purwodadi Village, the coast district, Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta Special Region. From the center of Jogja City, you will travel around 77 kilometers or around 2 to 3 hours. Arriving at Siung Beach, you will see many giant rocks scattered to the west and east of the beach. Apart from being a characteristic feature of Siung Beach, the presence of coral rocks also has meaning in the origin of this beach name. It is said that the shape of this giant rock resembles the teeth of a monkey or Siung Wanara. That's why it is called Siung Beach. Not only that, if you are lucky, you can find several long-tailed monkey around the beach, but today they are difficult to find. Among rock climbing lovers, Siung Beach has become a spot that must be conquered. Having around 250 rocks climbing spots with different levels of difficulty, Siung Beach was also awarded the best climbing rock site in Yogyakarta. If you love rock climbing, you need to visit this beach. Besides being able to enjoy swimming and playing in the water, you can climb to the expanse of green grass called Pangilon Hill. Here you can enjoy the view of Siung Beach from a height. You can even see a group of other beaches in the Gunung Kidul area, such as Wediombo Beach and Watu Lumbung Beach. Try to come in the morning to watch the beautiful sunrise panorama. If you want to spend the night, you can camp on the east coast. Siung Beach also provides adequate facilities such as parking, toilets, places of worship, and several food stalls serving seafood and several typical Yogyakarta menus. That's Indonesian Wonder. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Selama ini
hatiku. Kaulah cinta sejati. Yeah. Jadikan kau kenangan yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun takkan mudah bagiku meninggalkan jejak hidupku yang tak terukir abadi sebagai kenangan yang
After this, boy listener, we will listen to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia or Mari Berbahasa Indonesia only on Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Menuju Bandung. Menuju Bandung, which means heading to Bandung. Stay tuned. We are going to present to you a conversation entitled Berkirim Pesan. Berkirim Pesan, which means sending messages to each other. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Indah, his vlog community friend in the city of Bandung, West Java. Chris tells in his vlog that he gets to know Indah at work. Let's listen to the conversation.
Perjalanan saya kali ini di Bandung ditemani oleh Indah, kawan lama saya. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkirim pesan.
Halo semuanya, saya Indah.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times, and you can repeat after me. jarang bertemu, jarang bertemu, which means rarely meet. Tetapi, tetapi, which means but. Selalu, selalu, which means always. Berkiriman, berkiriman, which means send each other. Pesan, pesan, which means message. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkiriman pesan. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkiriman pesan. Which means we rarely meet, but we always send messages to each other. Perjalanan, perjalanan, which means trip. Kali ini, kali ini, which means this time. Ditemani, ditemani, which means to be accompanied. Kawan lama, which means old friend. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkiriman pesan. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkiriman pesan. Which means we rarely meet, but we always send messages to each other. In the sentence, the word berkiriman, berkiriman, which means send each other, it has the same meaning as saling berkirim, which means send each other. The expression berkiriman pesan has the same meaning as saling berkirim pesan. Let's listen to the other examples of using the word saling, saling, which means each other. Berpelukan, berpelukan, which means hug each other. Para pemain sepak bola berpelukan setelah laga berakhir. Para pemain sepak bola berpelukan setelah laga berakhir, which means the football players hug each other after the match ends. Bersalaman, bersalaman, which means greet each other. Warga bersalaman pada hari Lebaran. Warga bersalaman pada hari Lebaran, which means people greet each other on Idul Fitri. Bandung City is the capital of West Java Province. It is located about 140 kilometers southeast of Jakarta. Bandung is the third largest city after Jakarta, and Surabaya is Java based on population. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Perjalanan saya kali ini di Bandung ditemani oleh Indah, kawan lama saya. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkirim pesan.
Halo semuanya, saya Indah.
Well listeners, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
Thank you. coba untuk hidup selalu dari hatimu. Namun tak bisa, bayangan itu selalu mengganggu dalam tidurku. Ku menangis, kini cintaku telah kau bagi. Tak sanggup ku hadapi semua ini. Aku tak biasa bila tiada kau di sisiku. Aku tak biasa bila ku tak mendengar. Aku tak biasa bila tak memiliki dirimu. Aku tak biasa bila ku tidur tanpa. Aku tak biasa, aku tak biasa. Aku tak biasa bila tiada kau di sisiku. Aku tak biasa bila aku tak mendengar suaramu. Aku tak biasa bila tak memiliki dirimu. Aku tak biasa bila aku tidur tanpa belainmu. Aku tak biasa bila tiada kau di sisiku. Aku tak biasa bila aku tak mendengar. Aku tak biasa bila tak memiliki dirimu. Aku tak biasa bila aku tidur tanpa. Aku tak biasa. Aku tak biasa.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Puisi, which in English means poetry by Mostly Keroncong. The song was released in 2005, which was composed and popularized by Indonesian popular band The Gusti. The song tells the story of someone who still loves his ex and asks her to remember the beautiful story they both shared. Well, listeners, let's enjoy the song by Mostly Keroncong with the song entitled Puisi. Happy listening!
Aku akan selalu
so much, boy listener, for accompanying me in this 1 hour broadcast. But don't go anywhere, because after this, there will be a lot more program and information that will accompany the next hours of Voice of Indonesia. And don't forget that you can send your critic suggestion and also information through our social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in VOI at voinews.id and WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Again, in +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much for a listener, and always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
これは Voice of Indonesia です。日本語で放送されている Voice of Indonesia は、インドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく、様々な情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および LL デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。
Selamat malam, konbanwa. Kyo nisani jugonen, sangatsu, jukurichi watashi engarga, ichijikan no nihongo hoso okuri itashimasu. Kyo wa news, Indonesia no ongaku, sore tomo, iroiro na Indonesia no joho o otoroke shimasu. Tsugi wa news o otsutai shimasu. Hikisuzuki shuhasu 3325kHz ya 4755kHz kara, Voice of Indonesia no hoso o kiki kudasai. レッサンの皆さん、ニュースです。今日の見出しは、2025年、レバラン期間の経済循環は、375.26円に達すると予測。ロシア大使は、インドネシア・ユーラシア経済連合自由貿易協定の最終調整段階を確認。インドネシアは日本と特別支援教育分野での協力に意欲。最初のニュースです。インドネシアのウィリアンティ・プトリ・ワルダナ観光大臣は、運輸省のデータに基づき、2015年のラバラン・イド・フィトリ、期間中の国内観光客の移動が1億4600万回に達すると予測されていると明らかにしました。 この発表は3月19日、ジャカルタで開催された月例記者会見の安心の規制、楽しい観光というテーマのイベントで行われました。ウィディアンティ大臣によると、国内観光客1回の旅行あたりの平均支出額は257万ルピアと見込まれており、ラバラン期間中の経済循環は375.2 兆ルピアに達すると予測されています。国内観光客の1回の旅行あたりの平均支出額が257万ルピアであることを考慮すると、2015年のラバラン期間中の経済循環は375.2 兆ルピアに達すると期待されます。同じくイベントに参加した観光省のマーケティング担当副大臣、ニバリ・アユ・マルティニ氏は、2025年のラバラン期間中の国内観光客の移動が1億4600万回、つまりインドネシアの総人口の約 56% に相当することは非常に大きな経済力を示していると述べました。また、規制の目的は家族との再会だけでなく観光も含まれるため、政府は規制とラバラン休暇をスムーズかつ楽しいものにするための支援を行うと説明しました。次は、在インドネシアロシア大使のセルゲイ・タレチャイノフ氏は、インドネシア・ユラシア経済連合自由貿易協定の交渉が最終調整段階に入ったことを確認しました。この協定には、インドネシアとユラシア経済連合加盟国であるロシア、アルメニア、ベラルーシ、カザフスタン、キルギスが加入しています。6月までに合意が成立すれば、インドネシアのプラボースビアント大統領のロシア訪問と同時に、モスクワで署名が行われる可能性があります。また、インドネシアは現在、欧州連合との経済協力協定や、環太平洋パートナーシップへの加盟交渉も進めています。最後のニュースです。在日本インドネシア大使のヘリ・アフマディ氏は、特別支援が必要な子どもたちの支援、特にインクルーシブ、教育の分野で日本との協力に意欲を示しました。この発言は日本の非営利入り団体、ジャパンバリアフリープロジェクトが在日本インドネシア大使館を訪れ、情報交換を行った際に述べられました。日本側の代表者は、インドネシアのインクルーシブな学校制度を高く評価し、特別支援が必要な子どもたちが一般の子どもたちと共に学ぶ環境が整っていることを称賛しました。一方、日本ではまだ多様性への受け入れが十分に進んでいない現状があると指摘されました。ジャパンバリアフリープロジェクトの関係者は、インドネシアの学校で実際にインクルーシブ教育がどのように実施されているかを視察したいとの意向を示しました。